Well, we're already well into the 2018 summer movie season, and for Hollywood, that tends to mean big-budget escapism, superheroes, animated flicks, and maybe a romantic comedy. But this weekend, viewers will have the option to go somewhere that's actually been dominating our real-life headlines, the U.S.-Mexico border.
It's your chance to get even for your family. You're gonna help us start a war.
With who?
Everyone.
Josh Brolin and Benicio del Toro there in Sicario, Day of the Soldado. It's a sequel to the first Sicario, released in 2015. Both films center around the drug war at the southern border and the role of the United States government in that conflict. Certainly timely, but also somewhere we've been already with Latino characters in Hollywood. So do the Sicario films subvert these stereotypes? We have two guests here to weigh in. Rafer Guzman is film critic for Newsday and The Takeaway, and Francis Negron Montaner is a filmmaker and professor at Columbia University's Center for the Study of Ethnicity and Race. Welcome to you both.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
So Rafer, you've seen the new Sicario. What did you think?
Well, as you said, this is a sequel. And the first one was sort of introducing us to these two characters, Josh Brolin, who is a kind of shadowy CIA dirty dealer type. And he's got this partner named Alejandro. We heard that clip of them talking about how they're going to start a war. What they want to do is basically disrupt the Mexican cartels by kidnapping the daughter of one of the kingpins and blaming a rival. And they're hoping that this will lead to a big shootout and sort of, you know, upend, perhaps destroy the Mexican drug cartels. What happens, as I think we all could tell, the plan to kidnap this daughter does not go quite as planned. Things go awry. Alejandro and this girl, Isabella, they get stuck behind the Mexican border. And now to get across, all other options have been taken from them through various, elaborate ruses. Now they have to get across. And so what they do is they try to blend in with these poor Mexican immigrants who are trying to get across the border like everyone, with coyotes, paying money, getting on buses, and hoping to make it across the border.
And let's talk a little bit about the worlds that are colliding here, right? Because we're in a moment right now where news is happening. We here at The Takeaway have been reporting extensively on what we're seeing at the southern border. How much, and Francis, I'll ask you first, and Rafer, I'll come back to you on your thoughts about this, but how much do we think what's happening in real life is art imitating life, or does it have the potential to in this situation, Francis?
I think it's completely linked, actually. I mean, we can't really separate the media and public discourse that we use as frameworks from quote-unquote reality. In fact, there's actually no reality outside of the frameworks that we use to understand it. And I would say that in this case, the fact that this set of narratives and tropes and stereotypes have been around for over 100 years and pervade all our genres, not only cinema, movies that you go to see in the theater, but also television and even our news. I would say that the biggest reproducers of these ideas right now every single day is the evening news, which shares a lot in representation with movies. So in this regard, I would say you can't really separate the two. The frameworks that we use to construct and imagine what is reality are those provided by our narratives, by television, by cinema, by reporting, by what we read and consume.
So I want to broaden out a little bit, because when I think about Latino representation in media, when I think about it in films, there's so much emphasis on this idea of drug cartels and kingpins and
yes.
queenpins. And,
yes.
you know, I mean, I just feel like when I was thinking about today, I said, when was the last film that focused on Latino characters that didn't have anything to do with drug cartels or king and queen pins? Like, I'm thinking back to Stand and Deliver. I mean, is that
right,
Selena?
Right.
Like, how far back do we need to go to find a film that has to do with Latinos that is not about the drug world?
It's tough. There are not that many out there, and it's puzzling to me, because Latinos are one of the most active and frequent movie going groups out there. I think they see more movies per year than any other ethnic group, and yet I think they're pretty underserved at the box office. One of the only films I can think of, and I can't give it a wholehearted recommendation, but was A Better Life with Demian Bashir, and that was a pretty good immigration story about a guy who was a gardener. He was Mexican. He was here in the country and living this kind of hand-to-mouth and very tenuous existence. Any little slip-up clearly is going to cause him a lot of problems. He has a son who's here, you see this story and their existence from both sides. I thought the film was pretty clear-headed about what was going on. But, you know, it's tough
few
to see
and far between.
Tough to see a film with a Latino character that's really front and center.
Francis, do you think Hollywood is the place to look for these types of films? Or is it in independent film? Is it in documentary film where these stories are more likely to be told?
I mean, I see this as a multi-front issue, right? So on the one hand, those people that are in the industry and viewers that want to see different stories should be pressuring the industry to change, because the industry does change to some extent. Should we be expecting a widely definitive or widely satisfying account? Maybe not, and that's probably true for all subjects. On the other hand, I can also think about a number of independent films or films that come from independent producers or producers that have had a long independent life. For instance, you mentioned Selena earlier, and one of the things about Selena that's interesting is that one has one of the few border crossing scenes that actually not about drugs, which is when going south and not about sex or not about other kinds of subjects when Selena goes to Monterrey to promote her music. That's a border crossing that's not about any of that. And I also want to think about a film like Las Martas by an independent producer called Cristina Ibarra, which was a POV, it was on public television, and it was about a tradition in El Paso, Texas, of young women that dress up as Martha Washington in a kind of ball every year. So that's a border story about how cultures come together and what kind of dance there is in that space. That has nothing to do with it. So I think there are examples of alternatives, and I think independent films are going to be doing different work than Hollywood films. But I think we need all of the fronts to change and shift and have more people access the independent work and the perspectives that are there, and have Hollywood do a better job with their stories about the border and immigration.
And I think you also look at Lin-Manuel Miranda of Hamilton fame. This was a Broadway musical that no one thought was really going to have the impact that it's since had with diverse casting. Do either of you see that success being able to be replicated in Hollywood?
I think so far, it seems to me that women have made probably greater strides. I think African-Americans have probably made greater strides in terms of getting themselves sort of really centrally in the spotlight, in a movie, on the poster. I have not seen that happening to any great extent with Latinos. And, you know, that might be the next wave. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm just going to say that apart from power in Hollywood, obviously inside of Hollywood and who's making decisions, which is pivotal, there's also the issue of who's watching. And then there's one of the strengths and sometimes maybe on leverage strengths of pushing change to go a little faster. Because as demographics continue to shift, and we already know that children are already, like, the future is already here, and it's a majority future. So empowering more the audience to have their feelings known and to help and participate in shaping what comes out of Hollywood and other venues, I think is another point of interest that I've devoted a bit of time to investigate. Like, how is it that we can empower audiences to be more demanding to what we consume?
Well, we're curious to see what people think about the new Sicario film. Thank you both for being with us. Rafer Guzman is film critic for Newsday and The Takeaway, and Francis Negro Muntaner is a filmmaker and professor at Columbia University's Center for the Study of Ethnicity and Race. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.